open them up to John chapter 9. The Gospel of John chapter 9 is where we'll be this morning. And I want to bring a message to you entitled, The Blind Man and the Blind Soul. The Blind Man and the Blind Soul. This will be a very familiar text for all of us, I'm sure. Sure, you've heard it preached before by many. I want to draw a parallel that I believe is intentional. You know, I believe when God gave all the writers of the Scripture what He wanted them to write, it was exactly that. It was not a mistake. God gave them what He wanted us to have. And so when we read His Word and we see something that appears to be pretty obvious, I don't think it's an accident. I believe God gives it to us for our benefit, but for His glory. And so as we read through this story, we're going to see a parallel between the blind man and what I'm calling the blind soul. Let's dive right in verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Father, as we dive into this word today, God, I pray that you would help me calm my nerves. Lord, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross. Empty me of myself. Fill me with your spirit. Use me as your vessel, Lord, to communicate the word that you would have for us today. Lord, I pray that it would not be my opinion and my thoughts, but God, that it would just be the truth of your word that comes through. For we know that it's your word that's sufficient. It's your word that we need. It's your word that changes us. God, I pray that you'd help us to not just be hearers of the word, but doers also. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a familiar story, and we'll certainly read more of it this morning, but it's a familiar story to us. We know about the blind man. We know how he's healed, and we'll see all of that. But I want to draw a parallel between the blind man and this blind soul. Whose soul is this? Well, we'll see very shortly. I believe it's all souls. We pick up in verse number 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man. Aren't you thankful that our Lord takes time, even though He's busy, even though He is doing things, He is passing by, He's actually getting away from people who are creating an accusation against Him. He's getting away from them, and yet He still had the time and the wherewithal to see a man who has a need. This man has a condition. And the Bible says in the verse 1 here that he was blind from his birth. This condition he's had since he was born. Now, this is not a young boy that Jesus sees. He records it as a man. And we'll see later that his parents will even say, he's of age, ask him. His word will stand. This is not a young boy. This is a man. He's lived with this condition his entire life since he was born. But Jesus sees this man as he is. Jesus sees this man before any change has taken place. And Jesus recognizes this man's need. Now, this man's need is a physical need. He needs a touch from God to heal his blinded eyes. Verse 2, we see, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, at face value, we read that and we don't think much of it, maybe. Seems like a legitimate question. Who sinned? Was it this man that sinned? Or was it his parents and that's why he was born blind? You see, the disciples have seen the man. They've seen his condition and they want to know whose fault it is. And as I was reading this week, I began to think in my own heart, how often do I do this? I see somebody around me who has a physical condition or a spiritual need, and they're carrying a burden, and I say, whose fault is this? What did you do? You're going through this such a difficult time. All of your cars broke down all at once. What did you do? What kind of secret are you hiding? How often do I do that and I miss the opportunity to be a blessing to somebody, to help somebody? The disciples ask, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So number one, we see the man's condition. He's born blind. He's been blind since birth. But number two, we're going to see the cure. In verse 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. There was a reason for this. And it was so that God would be glorified. This man has lived with this condition his entire life. Let's just say, for argument's sake, he's 20 years old. I have no idea how old he is, but let's just say he's 20 years old. That means for 20 years, this man has lived blind. He cannot see. That sounds redundant, I know, but sometimes we read these stories and we just glaze over it because we know it. He's lived blind his entire life. He has never seen daylight. He has never seen the changing of the season. He has never seen anything. He's never seen his own parents. He's never seen his friends, if he had any. And this man sits and he begs. He can't work. He's blind. This condition has affected and permeated every single avenue of this man's life. Jesus says it's not his sin that's the problem, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There's coming a time, and there is still coming a time, when it will be too late. Jesus says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. He made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, I don't know if anybody in here is a physician or a doctor of any kind, but you don't have to be a doctor or a physician or a rocket scientist or anything like that to figure out that when you spit on the ground and you smear it around, it creates a paste. And Jesus is going to take this paste in verse 7. He said unto him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Jesus takes this paste that he's made with his spit, which, by the way, if let's just immerse ourselves for a moment. This blind man, whenever you lose one of your senses, the rest of your senses are heightened. It means they become more aware. So his hearing becomes more sensitive. He's more in tune with it. The things that he feels when the sunshine hits his skin, he's more aware of that. Whereas you and I go, ugh, it's too hot out. It's already too hot out for me. I don't like the summer. He's more in tune. So he hears a man spit on the ground. I would imagine he's heard this entire conversation that the disciples have had with Jesus just now. Can you imagine how that made him feel? Who sinned, this begging blind man or his parents? And that's why he was born that way. You think he heard that? And then he heard Jesus say, it's not his fault, but that the works of God may be made manifest in his life. And then Jesus spits on the ground. When you spit, it makes a sound. I don't mean to be overly gross, but it makes a sound. I imagine the blind man hears this. As Jesus makes this paste, and he begins to anoint the eyes of the blind man. Now, if you're the blind man, wouldn't you be thinking, I would be thinking, what is happening? Somebody just spit, and now there's stuff being smeared on my eyes. Jesus says in verse 7, he said unto him, go wash in the pool
of Siloam,
which is being interpreted, sent. Now, the blind man has lived with this condition his entire life. He's probably familiar with the geography of the local area. He would have known where this pool is. He would have known how to get there. So this blind man, he goes. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and he came seeing. This man who's lived with this condition his entire life, it has permeated every single avenue of his life. It has changed how he lives in every conceivable way. This man rubs some spitty clay on his eyes and says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he does, and his eyes are opened. And for the first time in his life, he can see. He can see color. He can tell what time of day it is. He can see the people around him at the pool of Siloam. I can just imagine he's blinking, thinking, how is this possible? He just wiped clay on my eyes, and now I can see. It's a miracle. And that's exactly what it was. That the works of God might be made manifest in him. He went his way, therefore he washed, and he came seeing. Number one, we saw the condition. Number two, the cure. Number three, we see the conversion. He's no longer blind. Now he sees. Verse 8, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, he was blind, said, is it not he that sat and begged? He's walking and he's looking around. Have any of you ever spent any time around a blind person? Have any of you ever heard of a guy named Don Forrester? Don Forrester lost his vision when he was, I believe, 7 or 8 years old. He was a young boy. He lived down in Texas with his family. And Don Forrester went completely blind. He lost vision in one eye and then shortly after lost the vision in the other eye. Completely blind. And as a young boy, he grew up in a Christian home. He decided that he was going to be a pastor. Don Forrester went on to graduate from Bible school. He got his doctorate. He taught himself how to read Braille. He made it through college. He got his doctorate. And he was a pastor of a church up in Fredericksburg, Virginia for about 30 years. That church is now about 1,500 to 1,600 people. And it is growing exponentially. Pastor Kurt Skelly is now the pastor there. Why do I bring all of that up? I spent a little bit of time with Don Forrester. We were there for about 10 years. And Don did some incredible things. He had memorized the entire building. He knew exactly where he was at all times. He counted his steps. He knew exactly where he was. Somebody would lead him down the aisle on Sunday morning. They would sit him in his seat. And that was Don's seat. And he would get up. On his own, he knew what time to get up. He would get up. He would come up the steps. It's about 5 steps. He would come right over. He would bump his hand on the podium, and there he was. And he would preach. Phenomenal man. Incredible testimony. But you could obviously tell that Don was blind. It was very obvious. And if he wasn't in that church building, somebody had to lead him. I do have a funny story about Don, though, which I'll share briefly. He had a few brothers that came up to Fredericksburg with him, and they thought it would be really fun to let Don drive a car. And so they took him out on Route 3, which, if you go there now, is 4 lanes wide on one side, and they basically just told him what to do. They said, here's the steering wheel, here's the throttle, here's the brake. Hit the gas. Okay, steer right. Steer more right, okay? So anyway, they let him drive the car. That's terrifying. Why do I share all of that? If you've been around somebody who is visually impaired like that, you can tell. You know. People knew this man was blind. He sat and he begged, and he was known as a blind man. And now there is a change, so much so that people are asking, isn't this the same guy that was blind? Didn't he sit begging before? this change was so obvious and evident in his life that everyone could tell that something had changed. Therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? You've been blind since you were born. Now you can see? How? How is that possible? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go wash. Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received my sight. He obeyed the Lord. Then said they unto him, where is he? This man that you're calling Jesus, who made this clay, where is he? He said, I know not. I don't know where he is. He told me to go wash. I went and washed. Now I'm seeing. Haven't seen him since. Actually, I've never seen him. Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how that he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, talking of Jesus, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. So we've seen the condition, we've seen the cure, we've seen the conversion. Now we're seeing this conversation. He was blind. We know he was blind. Take him to the Pharisees. They got to see this. And so they go over to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are like, you were blind. How do you now see? How is that possible? And he says, well, there's this guy named Jesus. For the second time he says this. There's this guy named Jesus. He put the clay on my eyes, told me to go wash. I washed. I obeyed the Lord, and now I see. And the Pharisees are like, well, it's the Sabbath day. You're not allowed to do that. So he must be a sinner. But another group of the Pharisees are saying, he was blind and now he sees. There's no way a sinner could do that. There's no way a sinner could make that change. So we see this conversation. There's a division among the Pharisees. Verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, of Jesus, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. And he received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Now they're dragging the parents in. You see, this change was such a massive, dynamic change that they're saying there's no way you were originally blind. This change is so dynamic, it's so different, there's no way that you could have been born blind. You've been faking it for all these years, and we know it. We're going to talk to your parents. It's like your teacher. Well, not me. I was homeschooled. If mom said, I'm going to talk to your parents, I was like, ugh. That means dad's coming home. They said, we're going to catch you. There's no way this change is authentic. You've been faking it for however many years. You weren't really blind. You could see the whole time. So they call his parents, verse 19. They ask them, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. Well, that's a good first point. We do know this is our son. And we know that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. So they ask his parents, and they say, was he born blind?
Tell us the truth. We want to know.
And his parents say, well, number one, yes, that is our kid. That's our son. And yes, he was born blind. This is not something you would make up. This is not something you would ever wish on your own child. They affirm it. And then they say, he's of age. Ask him. Why would he lie to you?
We don't know how he got his sight back or who did it.
These words spake they to the parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, that's Jesus, he should be put out of the synagogue. He'll be put out. They're afraid of what might happen. Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. Ask him, let his testimony stand.
Then again called they the man that was blind, and they said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. This Jesus who healed you on the Sabbath day, he's a sinner.
So just give God the praise, because that's always allowed. And don't say anything about this Jesus.
We saw the condition. He's blind since birth. We saw the cure. He had faith to wash off the clay. We've seen the conversion. The blind became the seeing. The conversation. The Pharisees do not believe. And finally, we see the simple claim. You say, that was a short message. This is all introduction. We see the simple claim in verse 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not.
I don't know his heart. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I can't tell you all of the details. I can't tell you how he did it. I can't tell you what physiologically changed in my eyes and with my retina and in my brain. I can't tell you all of that. But one thing that I know, I was blind, now I see. It's a simple claim.
Do you see the parallel? This man had a physical condition since birth. Again, it's not an accident that that's recorded for us. You see, each and every one of us have a spiritual condition from birth. And it's sin.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The psalmist would say, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin, my mother conceived me. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We have a spiritual condition from birth, and it's sin.
But can I tell you the best news you're going to hear all week? There's a cure. There's a cure.
Let me tell you some of the most exciting news that I can share. About 6 weeks ago, I was up at a men's conference. Not a men's conference. It was just a conference up in Fredericksburg at Don Forster's church from the Wild. It's called the Council of the Heart Ministries. Great conference. And my wife texted me in the afternoon and she said, Zola's asking a lot of questions. That's our oldest daughter, our only daughter. She said, Zola's asking a lot of questions. She wants to talk to you when you get home. Okay, all right, great. And I started getting nervous. So I got home, and our six-year-old little girl trusted Jesus as her Savior. That is a day we have prayed for more than 6 years. We have begged God
Please show our children at an early age that they have a condition. They have a condition from birth, and it's sin, and God, they need the cure. They need Jesus. Please show them at an early age. And she got settled. That's the most exciting thing as a parent, to know that your child has gotten it settled. Can I tell you good news? Each and every one of us have that opportunity right now. Right now. You could be 6, you could be 106, it doesn't matter. The gospel is for everyone. That cure, Jesus' blood atonement that we're going to talk about in just a second, that's for everyone. That's not just for the little girl. That's not just for the person who's been black backslidden their whole life. That's for the person who's played church for 20 years. That was me. I played church for 20 years. I had everybody fooled. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. You need the cure. You need to be saved, Elijah. So we do have a condition, but there's a cure. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, through Jesus, might be saved. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from the vain conversation received from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to earn it. There's nothing we can do to earn it. God's already given it to us. Amen. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. So yes, we have a condition. It is from birth. But there is a cure, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's good news. We no longer have to live in our sin. We no longer have to live in the depravity and in the blindness of our soul. No, we can live seeing through the lens of Jesus Christ's blood. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that He sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's a condition, but there's a cure. Because of that cure, we can have a changed life. There can be conversion. We don't have to live blind. God made a way that we can all receive our spiritual sight. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I told you a moment ago that I played church for 20 years. Had everybody fooled. And everybody thought, yeah, he's fine. He's got Jesus. No, I had religion. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That was me. 19 years old, I was a camp counselor. I was supposed to be the one counseling teenagers. And I was lost. You hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together, heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. We no longer have to live in our sin. There's a cure. We can have that conversion. And it produces a new conversation. You see, when you become the child of God, you become co-heirs with Christ. You receive you are adopted into the family of God. You receive all the blessing of being God's. I am in no way preaching prosperity gospel. But what I'm telling you is God will supply all of your need. Your need, not your want. He's not going to just give you $10,000 because you tithed once. That's not how God works. This cure creates this conversion, which creates a new conversation. The psalmist says, Psalms 107, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." You know that simple claim that the blind man made? He said, "I can't tell you how he did everything. I can't tell you all the intricacies of how the physiology in my eyes changed, but I can tell you one thing. This one thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see." And you know, friends, you don't have to be the greatest theologian to ever walk the face of the earth to tell people, "I was lost, now I'm found." Amen. "I was backslidden away from God, now I am seeking God." It's not because we loved God, but because He loved us. We have a condition. But praise God, there's a cure. Jesus said, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." When we are born in sin and we repent and we ask forgiveness of that sin, we become the children of God. The works of God are manifest in our life. Oftentimes we within Christian communities, a lot of times we will portray the works of an effectual Christian as, you know, you can't work your way to heaven, but you should be doing these things. I'm going to present it like this. The blind man couldn't help but see. He obeyed the Lord, and now he can see. He can't help. He told everybody that he could see. He said, "I can't tell you the intricacies of it. I can't tell you all the details, but I can tell you, I used to be blind. Now I see." You know, young people, you have a difficult road growing up in the era that you are growing up. I readily admit that. But you also have the ability to say, "I was blind, now I see." You say, "But my friends might think I'm weird." Yeah, they might. Wouldn't it be a shame to stand before your Creator and say, "I was afraid because I thought my friends would think I'm weird"? Just tell them. Make that simple claim. "I was blind, now I see. I was lost, now I'm saved, and it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ." It's worth it. It's worth it to share that. You might just be the one that plants the seed. You might be the one that waters that seed. You might be the one shedding a little bit of just real Christianity with somebody, and that's all they needed to see. There's a parallel between the blind man and the blind soul. I believe it was on purpose. For our benefit, but for God's glory. Are you saved today? Can I just ask you, are you saved today? Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if you died today, you would spend eternity with Christ? It's the most important question you'll ever be asked. Do you know that you know that you're saved? Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, I thank you for this time. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom that we get from your word. Lord, I pray that we would be not only hearers, but God doers. I pray that you'd help us to make that simple claim to our friends, to our family, to our co-workers. Lord, help me. In my office, God, I pray that you would help me to shine the light, make that simple claim that I was blind, but now I see. Lord, with my family, I pray that you'd help me to make that claim. With my friends, I pray that it would be evident that I'd never shy away from just telling the truth. That I had a condition from birth. But because of the cure, I have a new life and is hid with Christ. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his blood on the cross. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Every head bowed, every eye closed, as you begin to think about these words and the music plays. Just consider the truth of God's word. This blind man had his condition from birth. He was hopeless. He sat and begged every day because he had no hope. And then he met Jesus. Jesus gave a simple command. He obeyed. And that blind man who had that lifelong condition was healed. Do you know that you know that you are saved? Has there been a time in your life that you can look back and say, at this moment, this is when I became a child of God? As you work through this truth, you just spend time with the Lord.
If you've never made that decision, don't put it off. You can speak to Brother Elijah or myself or one of the other men in the church, one of the ladies in the church that you know. And if you've never accepted them, just make sure you settle it today. If you have any other thing that you need to pray about, just let us know. Or just feel free to pray. And we're just going to close and prayer and remember, even after the service, it's not too late. Let's pray. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for Brother Elijah and the message, Lord, that, Lord, you do open eyes. And Lord, we pray for people here that may not know you, Lord. We pray for loved ones that still need you, Lord. And pray that you might open eyes and hearts to your glorious love. Lord, be with us today. Help us to glorify you. And Lord, we'll just thank you and praise you and ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.